brunch.
Yeah, it's time to pay homage to the girlfriend before she shoots me in the back or something. This, my last few weeks have been absolutely bananas. So in my day job, we have like grants and stuff that are due for submission. So yeah, I've been all over the place. So.
Oh, PhDs?
Yeah. So I'm a postdoc now.
Okay.
And one of my responsibilities is writing grants to keep the lab funded.
Okay.
So we just had a deadline on this past Thursday that I was just fucking helter-skelter for. So.
Oh. What's the postdoc about?
So I'm studying traumatic brain injury in specific genotypes related to Alzheimer's disease. So TBI is a risk factor for Alzheimer's disease.
Yeah.
And so my research is trying to find out what genes are involved in making a risk factor for AD.
Oh, awesome. So you have to dig deep, find specific genes. I have no idea.
I'm ready to go if you are.
Yeah, I'm ready. I think Akshay will join us soon. But yeah, I thought we can, till you have time, we can just discuss the menu season so far.
Lovely, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Okay. Welcome back again. So season is almost finished. Menu will finish second in the league. What did you think of the overall season?
I think the season as a whole, if you look at from game to game, I think has been a disappointment.
Yeah.
If you look at it from, you know, taking a step back and looking just as results, which is what a lot of Mourinho apologists want to do.
Yeah.
Season, we've come second. We are the FA Cup final. If you look at it just from those metrics, then it hasn't been a disappointment. It hasn't been a success either. It's been an okay season. So it depends on how you look at it. For me, it's very important to enjoy the day-to-day, enjoy every game. For that, I don't think every fan shares my opinion.
Oh, by the way, Akshay is also here now. So,
Akshay, what's going on, bro?
Hey, man, how are you?
I'm good. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, same here. So yeah, carry on, man. Continue your Man United season.
I was going to say Wenger in, but maybe
not. No, I think it's sad, but at the same time, I'm happy about it.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think, it's the end, truly the end of an era, because there's no one left like him now. And what he's done is, I think people will appreciate him more once he's left Arsenal. I think people will see what he brought that wasn't just there every day in the results and what Arsenal Fan TV was telling you. So, yeah, it's a sad day. Wenger in. But, okay, so coming back to United.
Yeah.
We are in kind of a strange situation where next season, from my perspective, is also... You know, I think Guardiola has set himself up in such a way that I think next season is going to be as good, if not better. So that leaves United with the question that should we be redefining what success is for Manchester United?
Yeah.
It's a tough one to answer, and I don't know the answer to it. But I do know that I don't see us winning the league next year either, so... Tough one.
Be confident, man.
I think he's trying to be realistic.
Yeah, for me, Guardiola is the best manager in the world. And I do think that if there's anyone that has a chance against Guardiola,
Klopp.
It's probably Mourinho. Well, Klopp, yeah, I think the issue with Klopp is going to be the consistency of that team. If they manage to retain Salah, then okay, maybe, and I think they will, but you know, an argument can be made that this form that Liverpool is seeing is not, it just cannot be transferred into the league over 38 games. And I think there's some argument to be made there.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I agree about what you said, redefining what success means. I think Chelsea also needs to do that.
Yeah.
So what do you think success should be for those clubs then?
success for those clubs should be winning some sort of trophy, whether it's the Carling Cup, whatever it's called, the League Cup, the FA Cup, you know, Champions League or Europa League. Because I think genuinely think that the league is done. As long as Guardiola is as Man City, they will keep winning the league, in my opinion. So yeah, redefining success means trying to get a domestic trophy, and I guess fighting for second, which is horrible to accept, but that's the case, I think.
I think I won't agree with you. I have more positivity.
Who's going to replace Conte?
Anyone who replaces will be fighting for. That's what happened. That's how we do it. We win the league. We perform bad. We win the league again. That's
yeah. So how many managers do you think you'll fire within now and Thursday?
So let's see. Conte, and then Sarri will come in. He'll leave. No, but I don't think I think Guardiola will be, obviously he's a good manager, so he will be competing for the title, but I also don't think Man City has already redefined what success means to them, and I don't think they will worry too much if they don't win the title next season and they are close. Like, I know the thing is they won't perform as badly as we do, like Chelsea do, after winning the league. So they will always be there and thereabouts, and that would be a successful season for their owners or whatever. That's what I feel. I think they don't have, even though they have amazing players, they still don't have unrealistic expectations. I don't know if that's the right word, but
right.
But I don't think they expect Guardiola to win every season. They expect him to be there and thereabouts. That's what I feel.
Yeah, which he will be. I don't think City fans have gone into Chelsea or Man United mode where our fan groups feel entitled to success.
Yeah.
Which is, you're making a very good point there, actually. Which City fans are not there yet. They're still, you know, kind of appreciating whatever they get, kind of thing. So,
yeah, I think even with Pellegrini, you would get that sort of feeling, right? Like, they would be happy with, like, finishing second but playing, like, really good football. And they always also, they entertain the fans too. I think, like, their fans are used to, like, seeing lots of goals and entertaining football, but not as worried about not winning the title. Like, you know, I think Man United won the title in 2013 or whenever the last time they won it. But that season, Man City was still good. And there was no such, like, from their fans, you would get a perspective that they're still happy with their position. And maybe Guardiola can change their mentality, or like maybe he can give them that hunger for winning the league every season.
Yeah, we moved away from menus discussion, but
no, that's fine. I think Fellaini should take over as coach of Chelsea, in my opinion.
You really like him a lot. In your opinion, he's the best player, right?
I think he's a good squad player. I mean, I obviously exaggerate everything I say when I call him the, you know, best player in the world and stuff. But I think he's an underrated squad player that, you know, if you look at Fellaini, right, he's the only player other than Carrick that has survived and has made every manager happy in since Sir Alex. Moyes loved him.
Yeah.
Van Gaal loved him. Mourinho loved him. So those are three very, very different managers, right?
Yeah.
And unless you believe that all three are idiots, which some people do, then there's something to that player, something that makes Fellaini indispensable to all three of those managers.
Yeah.
And I think Man United supporters use him as a symbol of what's wrong with Man United, that there are players who don't get the Man United way.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think he's a good squad player. I don't want him to start against Chelsea or Man City, but I think he provides a purpose. And right now, that purpose is when Lukaku is out of the team, he's the only player that can play the Mourinho way, which is providing stability up top and providing support up top.
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, I think he's a typical...
And to be fair, he's the greatest player to have ever played football, so there's that too.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah. There's also the problem that with Man U, maybe this season also, that they should not be in the situation where they have to call him. Like you said, he's a good squad player, but usually the way they have started most of the games, maybe you might know better, but have they got enough chances and they... they have not converted them, and so they have to call upon Fellaini later on in the game, or they are losing in the first half maybe, and then they are just trying to draw the game, because they have drawn a lot of games this season also, which has been problem, and goalless draws as well.
Yeah, I don't think United has created enough chances, in my opinion, where Fellaini is kind of the savior. I think the issue, you know, having supported Chelsea, you know, with Mourinho, when things are not going well, when things are going well, everything looks good, everyone looks happy, the game is flowing, you know, you're keeping close clean sheets. But when things are not going well, everything breaks down. The team stops creating chances. Mourinho starts picking on his own players.
Right.
So it's very, very a very bipolar reaction to Mourinho's teams when things are going well versus not. And right now, all things considered, I don't think things are going that great for Manchester United. So obviously, you know, chance creation is low, internal toxicity and Mourinho's rhetoric gets worse every week, so you know they're the signs of someone that is already trying to find his way out of Man United.
They're not finishing the season on a high. Also, usually, like, you know, the league is gone, but at least you try to make the fans happy. But they have played goalless draws or not? The last one was a goalless. They've not scored in last two games, right?
They scored against Arsenal.
No. So last two games. Did they not lose against...
Was that in double game week? Yeah, they lost one game and they drew one game, I think.
Yeah, 0-0, yeah.
So, at least try to make the fans happy, that's what I say.
That doesn't sound like Mourinho, though.
But so make yourself happy, then does he not get happy by winning matches?
No, I think like Man U fans, they want to win, but they also want entertaining football. I think that's why Mourinho gets all the criticism. Like when you see like Fellaini coming on from the bench and you just like hoop up long balls to him and hope that he'll make something out of it. So that's the thing. I think like United fans, they are not used to seeing like at United. I think they usually
They are used to that after
maybe after Ferguson, they are used to it. Yeah.
I don't know, man. I think the Man United supporters. So I do a Man United video show, a YouTube show. Who are? Can you hear me, still?
Yeah. I was going to say plug that show after you are done. I have to watch that show. I have not seen the YouTube.
Thanks. I will. So I've been doing that for a while, and what I've learned is that there's such a heterogeneity in the Manchester United supporter base.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's so many people that are completely okay with Mourinho, regardless of whether he wins. And there's a lot of people who are frustrated with the style of play, but will accept Mourinho as long as he brings at least one trophy. And there are people like me who, you know, want to be entertained. Like, the reason I watch football isn't to call up my friend and be like, guess what? My team won a trophy. Like, I watch football for the aesthetic property of it. And I want, you know, I'm okay with United winning ugly once in a while. Or even half the time. But honestly, I can probably say, think of 5 or 6 games this season where I felt United played attacking football and won.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's as Akshay said, Man United supporters want to win, but well, some Man United supporters
want
to win, but
it's...
there needs to be a style of play. It's kind of like, you know, I divide football clubs into certain echelons. I think the upper echelon, uppermost echelon is Barcelona and Real Madrid.
Mm-hmm.
Then below that, you have Liverpool, Bayern Munich, and Manchester United.
Mm-hmm.
And Real Madrid, Barcelona, you know, they want to win every year and they demand nothing else. Bayern Munich, Liverpool, and Man United are clubs that want to win, but they want to win playing a certain style.
Mm.
And then you have the likes of Chelsea, who you know don't have any soul.
Wow.
And Man City.
Wow.
So
I'm ending this conversation now. That's it.
I'm just kidding about that, partly kidding about that. But I think Man United supporters like me, who've been watching for a long time, definitely feel that need for a certain identity that's true of history, because and I'll end on this point because I feel like I've been going on for a while. When you look at Man United's history, going back to the 50s, even before that, you know, so a specific incident I'm talking about, I was reading this book written by Wayne Barton about Jimmy Murphy, who was the assistant manager to Sir Matt Busby and basically helped to stabilize the club after the Munich air disaster.
Yeah.
And I'm reading all these newspaper snippets from that time. And the one thing they say consistently, and Jimmy Murphy says consistently, is Manchester United cannot afford to only win. They have to win playing the Man United way. Mm-hmm. And I think United has lost its way with Mourinho.
Right. Yeah. And I don't know how this... So when Mourinho was appointed the manager, didn't he talk to Ferguson as well? And he also approved of him. I know when he was Chelsea's manager, Ferguson used to love Mourinho. Like, he used to... Maybe Mourinho himself has also changed his philosophy or his nature, how he speaks to the media and all that stuff, his game style, everything.
Right, I think that was Sir Bobby who was very hesitant about Mourinho originally.
Oh, at Barcelona.
I'm sorry?
At Barcelona when he was...
Not Sir Bobby Robson, sorry. Sir Bobby Charlton, Manchester United legend,
okay.
Who was on the board of directors.
Okay.
I think some of that changed once. So United kind of, Man United fans too, were kind of in our bubble where we thought, you know, Sir Alex has set the club up for success. Moyes will come in. You know, yeah. He won the Community Shield and everyone thought, oh, this is just going to be the same thing with Moyes kind of leading the way just like Sir Alex did.
Yeah.
And we found out pretty quickly that the football had changed and that you had to move with the times. And I think that's when Sir Bobby kind of was like, okay, well, maybe we have to go with the modern day of football and allow someone like Mourinho to come in.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Sir Bobby was very skeptical of, apparently, we don't know this for sure, but that's what everyone believes to be true, that he was very skeptical of Mourinho as a Manchester United manager, that he was skeptical of his off-field antics, and he was skeptical of his style of football.
Yeah.
But now, here we are, guys. Unfortunately, until Guardiola leaves, I don't see Moyes, I don't see Mourinho, I don't see anyone else coming close to Guardiola except Mourinho, which is just heartbreaking to say, because in this equation, it makes Man City Superman and makes Manchester United Lex Luthor. And it's awful to admit that.
Lex Luthor is, in the comics, he's a worthy opponent to Superman, so I don't know if Man U are Lex Luthor.
Well, that's what I mean. I mean, there's only... So in almost every battle, right, Superman ends up winning.
Yeah,
but there's only one person, one foe comes close to Superman, which is Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
But he's also the most despicable of all the bunch. So it's an analogy that works in multiple ways, I think.
I think for us, when you were saying the Mourinho style of play, the negative, that doesn't mean defensive style of play. I think
it's like just holding back on attacking.
Defending, so because is good, defending, but you can still attack, right? So people get confused with that sometimes. Defensive, so that means negative. Most Italian managers would start defensive, I'm guessing. And then,
no, you're right. You're absolutely right. But here's the thing, and it's a very good point you make, because everyone celebrates, you know, Diego Simeone, for example. We don't criticize him the same way we criticize Mourinho. You look at, Burnley finished sixth or seventh, and, you know, we don't criticize them. But I think the bar has to be different for someone like Mourinho, whose team has spent the second most amount of money in the world on any club. It has to be different for a club like Man United. So I think in a reductionist way, what you're saying is true, that, you know, we should celebrate defensive football, that there's not just one style of playing. I think it might not reflect what the journey is for Manchester United when we talk about that.
But Mourinho also is not playing even that style. His teams used to be really good at counterattacks also. I don't think they have even done that this season in some games. So
I agree. And it also misses the point about how how massive David De Gea has been for us. Because, you know, I don't buy the argument that without David De Gea, because, you know, you're always going to have a goalkeeper and you're always going to make some saves.
Yeah, yeah.
But the truth is that I think it's demonstrably true that had we had someone like, I don't know, like...
Ospina.
I would say better check, I guess.
Ospina, man. I was thinking about Mignolet or someone like that.
Oh, yeah,
we
yeah.
would be down in 7th or 8th. I think that's
you can remember like so many games De Gea saved them. Like,
I especially remember
them,
that Sevilla game, even though they still end up...
Oh, yeah. First leg of the Sevilla game, absolutely. Yeah.
I remember Arsenal game in the league as well. Like, he was just unstoppable. Leg, the first visit.
Yep, exactly. You're absolutely right. Those two definitely stand out. And even like on the smaller, like some of the smaller games, right? United was always susceptible on the counter. And in the absence of David De Gea, we would have probably conceded more than we did.
Yeah. So talking about him, is he your player of the season for Man U then?
I think so.
Or Lukaku? Okay.
I think so in terms of the impact he's had over, in terms of the points he's provided us. In terms of an outfield player, I would probably give it to Matic, who's been kind of a bedrock for us.
You're welcome. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. you know, Mourinho, the legend who sells him and buys him everywhere he goes. So,
yeah, that's his master plan.
He's a legend, man. He's a tactical genius. I mean, no one can accuse him of not developing players when he's you know, allowing them to go and develop and just buying them again. It's a part of his plan.
So Matic,
yeah, I think Matic.
And worst player of the season.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a really good one. Worst player of the season.
Sanchez?
Or maybe underperformer. Sanchez. Also, this may be a two-part question. Then the worst player and then the player you had high hopes from but didn't quite
live up to the expectations.
I would say the second one is easier. Mkhitaryan. That was the second one for me, was Mkhitaryan. I think even when I did a preview with you guys, was like, Mkhitaryan's going to be incredible this year. And he wasn't for, you know, a lot to do with Mourinho, but a lot to do with Mkhitaryan too. That would be me. That would be Mkhitaryan. In terms of worst player, though, I would have to go with someone like... it's hard to say because a lot of players that I'm thinking of right now didn't really get enough playing time. You know, so someone like Dali Blind, who started last season as our first choice center back, played in every Europa Cup game, was played in the final of the Europa League final against who did we play in the final? I don't even remember anymore. Ajax. And what happened to him this season is kind of mind-boggling. Like I don't think he's even been on the bench. So that's one. I think Matteo Darmian is our worst player on this team overall. And I'd be very surprised if he's a Man United player come August.
And some of these players, they had really nice seasons before this. Like Chris Smalling also, he was such a big centre-back for them in previous season, but somehow didn't work out for him. This one. And Lindelof, I'm reading this...
he's made like one or two high-profile errors, right, Lindelof, and then he didn't get too many chances.
I agree. I think Lindelof has underperformed. And, you know, argument can be made with Martial, argument can be made with Rashford, argument can be made with Pogba, argument can be made with Sanchez. The list just goes on and on in terms of underperformances.
Yeah. It's not just Dave, but Dave, you know, remember Dave was really excited about Lindelof signing also, and he said we just have to sign Pogba and we'll win the league. It's not just him, but I'm saying that most fans get really excited. I got excited when new signings coming, although we didn't.
Bakayoko signing, remember that?
Yeah, I was excited for him. He's such a great player. At the start of the season, everyone is so excited. Yeah. They have high hopes, and then you just realize, you have been wrong all along.
Yeah, because at the start of the season, we're all playing FIFA in our minds, right?
Suddenly,
this player is a 90, on FIFA, and you're like, oh yeah, that's what's going to be when he ends up playing in a Mourinho system. And that's just not the case, unfortunately. Lukaku has been a very good signing. Modric has been a very good signing, but there are questions about Lindelof still. The future of a lot of these players is up in the air, and depending on who you're asking, there could be as many as 5-6 players leaving United this summer.
So do you think, what's next for them then? You said redefining success at the start, so do you think does that mean they'll promote more young players or try to sign? I like that.
That's not going to happen.
Okay. So they'll sign another £100 million player.
Yeah, oh for sure. United
or more than one. Yeah.
Spend big again.
Rich man.
United's going to lose Fellaini and Carrick, which will mean one top class central midfielder will come in and maybe a backup one. I'm sure United will sign two fullbacks, left back and right back. Promoting youth, come on. I mean, Mourinho said it one time in a press conference, and I was watching MUTV. Pretty sure I heard someone giggling in the background because they thought he was joking, that he was making, that he was like, kind of mocking himself kind of thing. But he pretended that that was the case, that he was going to promote youngsters, and all of us were like, come on, dude. Even you know that this is fucking horseshit. Like, you're Jose Mourinho. The last thing you care about is youth development.
I think also maybe Rashford and Lingard got more chances because he got pressured from somewhere. He didn't want to. I don't know.
Yeah, and those also
give them chances. So
right. But those are the guys who had shown before in the previous season. It's not like he's getting them from the beginning.
Yeah.
I think with Mourinho the issue is that I don't think it's not that he doesn't recognize potential. I think he does. He's a great manager, but I think he doesn't have the patience to deliver on that potential. He wants players that are already at a high level who are physically strong, which is why he's happy with McTominay, who out of Rashford, Lingard, Pogba, Martial is probably the least technically gifted, but he's physically strong and he listens to Mourinho's tactics, which means defend. So that's why a player like McTominay will make it at Man United under Mourinho, but Martial won't. Lingard might because he follows instruction. Pogba probably won't. And Rashford is still a maybe. I think if Mourinho is able to convert Rashford into a left winger, I think Rashford has a future. Yeah. I don't think he has a future as a striker under Mourinho.
The other thing with Mourinho on the same point is he just is too afraid of making mistakes or having his players making mistakes that cost the goals. As soon as you make a mistake, you would find yourself out of the team, or I think for the players it's not good, especially for the young players.
No, I totally agree with that, 100%.
Yeah, I wonder if club's history then counts against, or not counts, what's the word for it? Goes against you, because then you are always under pressure to win something. So, Man City, I'm not saying this to degrade them or anything, but their history is way less than Man U right at this
what
point
history?
So okay, yeah, whatever you said,
from 2012
2007 since Tenakran bought Man City, that's the only time they have any history.
Yeah, so
I know guys in Indianapolis who were supporting Chelsea and then switched to supporting Man City. This is a true thing. So
I'm not that history. Person. So there are fans in every club who will do that. They will only support whoever wins.
Exactly.
But yeah, I was saying so Man City's history isn't that much. So fans, so they can afford maybe to spend on youth or. And while still having the money to sign these big players as well. So, that's just...
I think Man City is set up for serious success going forward, for sure.
Yeah. Nice. Well, I think it's almost 10:30 now. You might have to get brunch.
Yeah, it's time to pay homage to the girlfriend before she shoots me in the back or something.
I hope that doesn't happen. I hope you enjoy your brunch.
Cool. So I have one final question.
Nice chatting with you.
Yeah, cool.
Nice chatting to you. Oh, wait, Akshay has one final
question. Yeah, what do you think? Where would you think Man City would have finished if they had Mourinho? And if you swap the managers, where do you think both clubs will finish?
I think Man United finishes first, Man City finishes second or third.
Yeah, I think that's the right answer. Yeah. Because even with the same players, so simple, I don't think, right? Mourinho can beat Guardiola. He's just in the manager.
I agree. I mean, there was one season he's done it, but it was a very fluke season where Messi was injured a lot. Busquets was injured a lot. He was playing... who was that? It was a central midfielder that came out of... the Barcelona Youth Academy, I'm forgetting his name, but he was playing instead of Busquets. So it was a very strange season in the game against...
Yeah, Sergio Roberto?
No. When Mourinho was still manager of Madrid.
Okay.
Yeah, and it was a strange season. And I remember watching that Barcelona-Real Madrid game and watching Pepe basically trying to murder Messi. Yeah. And I was thinking, you know, if this is the way... If this is the way my team would win, I don't want to win.
Yeah.
It was absolutely horrendous. Like, it was like some of the worst football to watch. And it was so frustrating because after the game, because they ended up winning 4-0 or something, everyone was celebrating the tactical mastery of Mourinho. And I was like, yeah, no, it's good. Yeah, go ahead. Literally try to physically assault a player. If that's your tactical mastery, then good job, I guess. But surely as a pundit, you understand exactly what Mourinho did here. And it's not tactics. It's literally assault. So maybe you should point that out as a pundit looking at you, Phil Shane. So, yeah, that's what I thought.
Cool. Nice. Thanks for sharing your thoughts. I hope you feel better. Sharing is caring.
Clearly, I have a lot of emotions about Mourinho, so thank you for letting me vent. And let's chat soon, okay?
Yeah, we can probably discuss the whole season when we get proper time.
Definitely. Good talking to you guys.
Good talking to you. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
We can continue, though.
Okay.
Let's discuss other teams then.
I mean, I think the only thing that's remaining now is a fight for relegation.
Relegation is also done, right?
Oh, done? All three teams got relegated? Oh, well. Okay.
I think Swansea can avoid relegation if they can win by 7 or 8 goals because their goal difference is...
Okay.
So, and this is...
Well, so there's nothing exciting.
Some stat for you. Mm-hmm. You know this. This is only the third time in Premier League history that all three promoted teams survived relegation.
That's very nice. Yeah, I don't think I would have predicted all the three teams.
We have to check our... do you still have that Excel sheet? Do you remember we predicted...
Do you have Excel sheet? No, right? Maybe in the notes somewhere. I don't have any notes.
I think we made an Excel sheet for...
For the predictions relegation, and all. Yeah, I remember something like that. But let me see my Google Drive. If it shows up. Okay, I think you got it.
No, I'm trying to see where the actual
sheet is, the link.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not here.
There was a link. I think it was on Google Drive somewhere.
Yeah. So you have Google Drive
app downloaded? No, don't have the app. But I can look for the link.
But yeah, so you can talk about Arsenal's season. What did you think?
I mean,
a lot of things happened
for Arsenal, and going into the season we were kind of positive after the last season, and just with the new signings in the summer, we got Lacazette pretty early on, and I think everyone was excited to see him at Arsenal, and we did spend a big this season. But unfortunately, we aren't in the position in the league. We are sixth in the league, which is really sad because, all right, we have this shit.
So none of my predictions came true. None of I think either way.
I had my very non-biased Arsenal staying in the top four, which did not happen. And I got other three right.
Yes.
And for you, for top four...
I got three
Yeah, I think so we made a mistake in choosing our club to be there, which is, I mean, it's not a mistake, actually. I think you would hope for your club to be in the top four, especially at the start of the season when you don't know anything about it.
Yeah.
And so for the Golden Glove, so you have De Gea, I have Lloris.
I think I might won that.
I think so. Or maybe is there any other goalkeeper who kept more clean sheets?
No, I think
De Gea. Okay.
And then Mr. Assist, this is Mkhitaryan. I had Silva, you had KDB. I think KDB has the most assist. And then Golden Boot, none of us picked Salah.
Yeah, I don't think there was any person, who would have predicted Salah to be the top scorer.
You picked Harry Kane, I picked Lukaku.
Okay. Well, it's surprising that none of us picked Sergio Aguero. Well, just because of his injury, I think we already discussed it that time when setting up the predictions. And for the relegation, yes, no choices are right because everyone will have one of the promoted team at least.
Yeah.
So I had Brighton. Crystal Palace also miraculously survived. I had them. I was on track.
Yeah. Things change a lot when Frank de Boer was their manager initially, right? And he was gone so soon. It's really something. You have to give credit to Roy Hodgson for the work he did based on where they were.
Yeah, I mean,
they were almost destined for relegation.
8 games without scoring and losing all. So that's sort of a start. You would say like they were destined for relegation. But I think
they were missing Zaha as well, who is their talisman. Zaha, I think out of all the clubs, Zaha looks like more of a talisman to their club than most clubs.
Yeah, he has definitely played a very big part in keeping them alive. I think like if he wasn't there, I don't think they'd be finishing in the same way that they did. And he seems to me like he's a big club player. I think like he has that charisma in him that he can make difference even against like the better oppositions. But you'll have to see because he didn't get too many chances at Man United and he had to move to Crystal Palace. But now I think with this good season, you may never know what can happen in the summer.
Yeah, bids will come for him. I still think though he'll perform good for a smaller club against any other club. I think playing for a big club is still up in the air for me at least.
Okay, yeah, I think he has quality or he can improve. Definitely he can like play at a top six club.
Yeah,
but we'll see. And he's still very young, so he has a lot of time to develop.
Right.
He looks good to me.
I think the most goals scored, I think it is Liverpool.
It's Man City, right?
It's Man City?
I know
they have the big goal. Oh, yeah. They
broke like the all-time record.
Yeah. So we won that. Nice. But yeah, coming back to Arsenal's season.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the only thing that I think, like, start of the season, I think this was Arsene Wenger's last chance to show the fans that what he can achieve, and he had a contract until the end of next season.
Yeah.
He decided in the meantime that this is his last season, and after that point, I think, like, team has performed well, and you can see even the players that they're playing for him, although we didn't win all the games after his announcement. But I feel good for him that he can move on now to a better things, or maybe at a different club, maybe a national team's manager.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens with him, but for Arsenal, for first time in last 22 years, we know that there'll be a summer with a new manager coming in. So it'll be interesting to see how the next season goes. And with the spending, we are seeing Aubameyang and Lacazette playing well together in the same team. And we have Mkhitaryan and Ozil as well. So attacking-wise, I think we are really good position for the next season, but for defending wise, I think we need more defenders, and
you need a CDM.
Wherever we spend, it should be in the defensive positions, like the center backs and the holding midfielders.
Yeah,
and we'll also need a goalkeeper,
and you'll need a manager.
We'll need a manager as well, and there are, with the managers that are available, there are very few of them, and we know that Arsenal is in for the new manager. Chelsea maybe. Not sure, but most likely they're also in the running for the new manager. So in the Premier League, I think those are the only two big clubs that are looking for the new manager. I think Liverpool is pretty much set with Klopp.
Yeah.
Man City's Guardiola is not going anywhere. Mourinho, I think he'll stay for the next season.
Yeah.
And for Spurs, Pochettino is pretty much said Tony is a long-term project. So for Arsenal and Chelsea, they look for a new manager next season. And this season, if I have to rate, we did really well in the Europa League. We lost the semi-finals against Atletico Madrid, but I mean, we couldn't beat them when they were 10 men at home for us.
Yeah, so I don't think you did well.
Yeah, I mean, that's the game we... we did create chances, but we just couldn't finish. And over the two legs, I think it was a fair result to lose to Atletico Madrid. And from until that point, we did play... I mean, yeah, it's a Europa League. There are not many quality opponents to play. I think AC Milan game was a good one, and we managed to win both the legs in that round in the quarterfinals of the Europa League. So that was good. And FA Cup exit was there. In the league, we were out of the top four contention quite a while ago.
Right.
And yeah, I think that's what made Arsenal to make this decision about Wenger, and Wenger also to realize that it's the time to leave.
Yeah, we still don't know. He said he will explain what happened after the season ends, I think.
Yeah, I think it's most likely that case, because he has always respected his contract, and even before his announcement, you could feel that he wanted to stay. And even some of the post-match conferences after his announcement, I would get a feel that he wanted to stay. Like, he's putting the team in a good position, and the service he's given to the club is amazing. And yeah, I feel sad that he's leaving, because that's the only manager I know for Arsenal, and that's all I know about Arsenal. So it'll be interesting to see who the new manager comes in, and I hope that we don't become a club like who keeps sacking managers every like 2-3 seasons and want more stable continuity, but that's the trend now, not even sacking.
I think managers themselves can they try to move on after 3 seasons or 4 seasons right now, just to get different experiences. I think not many managers tend to stay at one club.
Yeah,
Pochettino, I guess, has stayed the most out of, because now they are in the top four contention almost regularly, so we can count them as a big team.
Yeah, he has been a good signing for Spurs. I think for all the signings that they've made in recent time, I think he's one of the best signings. And he's doing very well. He's doing all the things that you would expect from your club, or I would expect from the new manager that comes in for Arsenal. And for the new managers, I think I'll be happy with a young manager who has more seasons.
Fellaini.
Under him, Fellaini. No, we don't want to become a long ball United team, so we'll stay away from him, and hopefully we can get a manager who follows Arsene Wenger's philosophy of playing a nice football.
Nice football, but I think new manager should follow his own philosophy. I think fans are ready for something new.
Yeah, I mean, it's like entertaining the fans, right? Like with Arsene Wenger, I mean, it wasn't the case in last 2-3 seasons, but until before then, like, Arsenal would play the best football in the league, and you would associate them with like these intricate passing and gifted technical players and always creating chances. Although it hasn't happened for him in last 2-3 seasons. And Man City has taken over that mantle, or not mantle, but like the team, and the Liverpool is now the team what Arsenal used to be, where they'll not win the league, but they'll be like favorites, second favorites to every other fan. Or if they're seeing their club not winning the league, they'll support Arsenal, or they'll want Arsenal to win the league. But they're not that club anymore. I think Liverpool is that kind of a club now, where people will like Liverpool to win the league, and people like to watch their football.
Yeah.
So yeah, I hope that we bring that exciting attacking football again, and stay defensively solid at the same time, which is hard to achieve. I think that's why we need Pep Guardiola, but we'll see.
Too much to expect, at least.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you can see, like, yeah, Pep Guardiola has achieved it at Man City.
Yeah.
So there's no reason to expect that kind of style and play. May not be the results, because it's really hard to win the games consistently in the league.
Yeah.
But at least in terms of just playing style.
So who has been your best player? I'll do the same questioning.
Consistency has been a big issue. Like, you know, we've seen Ramsey having a good patch early on. Ozil had a good patch this season. So from consistency wise, I think Nacho Monreal was very consistent. He scored a few goals from a left back position too, and he's very solid defensively, so I would give it to him just because his consistency. Like, he always gives you 8 out of 10 performance. Like, he's never like, you will never say like, oh, Monreal had a bad game. So best player, I think I'll give it to him just because of his consistency. What was the other question?
Underperforming player and worst player.
Yeah, underperforming, I think I'll have to give it to Mesut Ozil. He has been good in patches, but we expect more from him. Like, we expect more goals from him.
Yeah.
We expect more assists, but he has not performed
again in that semi-final, the big semi-final against Atletico.
He wasn't there. He had a good games against AC Milan, but yeah, against Atletico Madrid, where you will expect a player of his caliber to like give us something, he didn't deliver. So I will say him as the underperforming player.
And worst?
Worst player, I think Koscielny or Mustafi is one of the center backs.
He's out for the World Cup as well, right?
He's out for the World Cup, and
I
the
think
standards,
Mustafi would take the...
Yeah, I think it's either one of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, like, both of them have made lots of mistakes, and Mustafi especially, he's made some shocking mistakes, like if allowing Aguero to go through clearly on goal, and just, like, sliding when it's not necessary. And
So,
I guess Mustafi, just because he has made more mistakes than Koscielny. Koscielny also, just because he has made... He set very high standards, because he was considered to be one of the best centre-backs in the league, but now, like...
Yeah.
He's just any other player. Like, you don't see any difference in him. Like, he's always... He let Griezmann go through on goal. He wasn't defensive, like, physically strong to hold him off.
Because same countryman, that's why they had a pact before the game.
Yeah, I guess, like, Griezmann just knew that what Koscielny can do. And he managed to get a goal. So those kind of mistakes, like, those are really stand out in big games and... allowing goals at that point, so it has to be.
We just read this news. They say
you
stop out the Fantasy Premier League.
He had 169 points, I think.
So that's Koscielny worst, or Mustafi
Koscielny
worst.
Mustafi both, yeah.
Both combined.
If I could say centre back position, that's it.
Okay, centre back position.
What's the third question?
And you said underperforming was Ozil. Was Montreal.
And I also have to give a shout out to Lacazette and Aubameyang. They're playing well together now, so hopefully we will see the best of them next season.
I was reading this news about the Aubameyang deal. He'll get a lot more money than what you initially signed him for, because there were all these add-ons added to his deal. Goals, if he gets a certain amount of goals, if he goes into second season or something, bonuses, so it can rise to 300,000. His wages can rise to £300,000. So his agent did a good job with him.
Yeah, and also, like, he's living up to the expectations. Like, we knew that he has pace, but there's always a question that whether he can do it in the Premier League, where it's so physical. And he's playing from the wings when he's playing with Lacazette, and he's contributing with goals and assists. And he looks like a very clinical finisher too. Like, he can get in those, like, first touch finishes or one touch finishes.
Yeah,
really well. And Lacazette is also playing well. I think, like, he allowed Lacazette to take a penalty, Aubameyang, and from that point onwards, I think Lacazette also kicked on, and we're seeing the best of both the strikers, so that's good. That's the optimism for the next season. So how do you think about Chelsea?
Chelsea's season, it's not as bad as the two seasons ago when we were coming after winning the title and we finished 10th. We were almost in the relegation zone. So in that regards, if you relatively we did well, but the problem, this has been a frustrating season, because I think we could have done much better if not for just It's were both you, Conte like, to blame, second... players to blame, and the board to blame.
Yeah, you were second in the league.
Yeah,
right,
at the start. So
Christmas
it's not like
something.
we were doing horribly. Even now, I think we did well to finish fifth. But it's just people blaming each other. Conte blaming the board for not supporting him, which is true. But then you have to live with what you got, which he didn't.
Yeah.
Players were not performing. We tend to get lazy sometimes, which is really frustrating to watch. And if you're watching on TV, I cannot imagine what the people who actually see the games in the stadium feel like. So you just start off really slowly. You're not doing anything, not interested in the game. You remember the Man City game where you were watching together, I think.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Man City was just passing the ball and we were not
doing
anything.
As if they were not there.
Yeah. So that kind of attitude really frustrates the fan. And we certainly had the... We had the players to finish in the top four at least, which would have been a good season. But
I mean, it's still hard to... I mean, it's not hard, but it's like... It's surprising to see that Chelsea are still the defending champions.
Yeah, yeah.
From the last season, so yeah.
And that's partly because Man City have been also so good.
Mm.
But yeah, we did not perform to expectations. Signings have been abysmal. For no reason, we signed Barkley. Didn't. And you would think we will learn... After signing players like Pato, even before that also, who did?
Yeah, there were some dodgy signings. I don't know why.
And I don't know if it matters to them that they are spending money on these players or they just want to fill out the English quota even if the players don't play. So Barkley signing was horrible. Bakayoko didn't work out.
Drink water as well.
And
the
more frustrating thing is Loftus-Cheek is doing much better than him, but he's not doing that for our club.
Yeah.
So, and now, I don't know if Conte will leave or not. If he doesn't leave, I'll still be happy. But only happy if the board and the manager are in the same page. They have learned their lesson. And I won't expect us to win the league, but finish in the top four at least. And just perform competitively, show some enthusiasm during the games. Loftus... Seek playing for the club again. I hope we can do that. Bring all the young players back and give them chances. So, average season. Nothing much to say more than that. There have been glimpses of us playing well. There have been glimpses, more than glimpses, of us not playing well. So... But for those three questions, the best player for us, Kante, he got the player of the
season for Chelsea's
player of the season award also. Kante and maybe Azpilicueta as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because they both, to me, in every game showed, like you were saying about Montreal, they both showed like they cared for the club. So they would win that award. And then... worst player would be... Who could be the worst player? Courtois also has made mistakes sometimes. Bad mistakes. Letting in goals at the near post in that Champions League game as well. Conceding that early goal against Barcelona. Because I thought we were playing well against Barcelona. We could have beaten them if we took our chances. So if that is taken into account, then maybe Morata as well. Can be Morata can be the underperforming player also based on the expectations we had. Morata and Bakayoko. Actually, I'll not put Bakayoko in that regard. Bakayoko is the worst player.
Worst player, right? Yeah, I think he should go in that category
because,
as well. I've seen him playing.
Yeah, because even at Monaco, if he would be underperforming if I had really high expectations of him.
Yeah.
But I didn't have that. I thought he would do well, but he didn't. So he was the worst player. But Morata... the underperforming because I had high expectations of him. And he was supposed to replace Diego Costa, which he never did. Partly due to injury, so... And he had other issues also, so... I'll give him one more season, but still... He seems to fall a lot. Which is... In English Premier League, that's not acceptable. You have to be strong.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, those are my three candidates.
Okay.
So, I'm waiting for the next season. Let's see what happens.
In a surprising result in Bundesliga, Bayern Munich is losing 4-1 against Stuttgart.
Do they care?
they don't really care, which is evident from which is not actually evident from their starting lineup.
But they were playing first team.
Very strong team: Frank Ribery, Lewandowski, Müller, Rodriguez.
Lewandowski has this problem with the manager right now. He was having
some problems mid-season as well.
Because he got substituted in one of the games and he just didn't look at the manager and just went straight back in.
Dortmund is also behind.
Dortmund are missing their talisman, Michy Batshuayi.
Batshuayi. Yeah, so last game of the season tomorrow and nothing much to look forward to, which is sad for the Premier League.
But World Cup is coming soon, so
the World Cup is coming
this
soon.
This time actually we'll not have to wait long to see football again. So
And it's what, 14th June?
Yes, 14th June to July. There are places somewhere close by also that show games in the big screen, so you can probably go there and see games.
Yeah.
I'm excited for the World Cup. I'm excited for the transfer businesses, all that.
Oh, I thought like you were saying like transfer business in food transfer market.
Oh, food transfer. That's all, that also. I'm excited for the World Cup mode in FIFA.
Yeah.
I hope I can get some Team of the Season players.
Yes.
What else? La Liga, Barcelona are going to set this unbeaten record for the season.
Yeah, they are in for it. And it will be a good achievement for them.
Great achievement, yes.
Yes.
Although they are, they will be a sixth or seventh team, I think, to have done that.
Think
we don't realize the history. Football has such a history. Yeah. So dates so far back, there have been other teams, but it's still a great achievement. That doesn't take away from the achievement.
Yeah, in the modern era, it is a very big achievement.
Yeah.
And no matter what the league is, I think any of the top five leagues, if you can go unbeaten, it means that you have this like this team bonding. There's so many things that you need to get it right.
But only in La Liga.
Go unbeaten.
In Champions League.
Yeah. that's the difference, right? That shows the difference between cup games and league games. So, yeah, it's... it's a good achievement for them, and that's all they have left right now.
Yeah.
I think they have already won the domestic trophy, and they'll finish up with the league and a double maybe. It'll be a good season for them, although they'll have a disappointment from the Champions League.
Right.
Because they haven't won it for a few seasons now. Real Madrid has been the best teams in the Champions League ever, I think, now.
Yeah, they have already won more Champions League also. But yeah, recent years they have reached the semifinals in last four, five.
And winning like last two times and now in the finals again. So
most consistent teams.
Yeah.
All right, that should be that, I think, for the podcast.
Yep.
Good discussion. We'll wait for the games tomorrow. I have to change fantasy team as well.
Yeah, same for me. Last game, last day of the season.
Yeah.
Can there be any surprises there? Let's see.
I hope so.
All right.
Thanks for listening, guys. Thanks for coming, Akshay. And thanks again, Nipun, for joining us. And I hope you guys have a good weekend.
Bye. Right. Bye.